Welcome to this message on South Haven's podcast from South Haven Church with the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Mike, and I'm inviting you to check us out at southhavenchurch.org. This message and other messages can be found on our website or on our South Haven Church app for iOS and Android. And now for a message of hope.
Well, not too long ago, I was hanging out with some family. We had I got family in Texas, and we were down in Texas. And so here was the situation: is that I think we were going to lunch or something like that, and there were like five of us in the car. And so my brother-in-law is driving, and as my brother-in-law is driving, you know, it was on a Saturday, but he had some work things that he had to take care of. And so as you do sometimes, so as he's driving along, he realizes that he needs to connect with one of his coworkers to take care of a work situation. And so, of course, as a good, safe driver that he is, and that I hope I know all of you are, you know, he had this hands-free type of voice, automated cell phone system there. So he goes ahead and gives the command to call his coworker, and his coworker's name is Jesus. And so here was the command: call Jesus personal. Okay, so you get that. So what was the personal means? That he had two phone numbers for Jesus in his phone. One was work, one was personal. So the command is call Jesus personal. Now, if you've had one of those voice-operated systems or you know how they work, you know that the voice command always repeats back what you want done. Okay, so that's what happened here. So call Jesus personal was replied back by the automated voice command, call Jesus personal. That's like, wow, so call Jesus personal. I couldn't differentiate between the hard and the soft J. We got a good laugh out of that there. We were all believers in the car, and we all agreed you ought to call Jesus personal. I hope you agree as well. Call Jesus personal. You know, I've been thinking about that ever since that happened a few weeks ago, and I just want you to know, that, do you realize that everything we do here at South Haven is about making Jesus personal? I got to thinking about that this week. Do you realize that when we engaged in conversations just yesterday with the many people and the yard work that we did and the fix-it things that we did and the cookies that were given away and the coins that were put into laundry machines and grilled hamburgers and hot dogs, you know, it was all here. You know what it was? It was because we know Jesus personally. And it's because we want people to know him personal. And I want you to know how personal it was yesterday, is that we were literally hands and feet of Jesus. We were actually showing the love of Christ. Here's language. In the groceries that were given away and everything, we're showing the love of Jesus in a practical way. That's very personal. Everything we do at South Haven, it all comes back to a personal Jesus. Our discipleship ministry is about personal, about knowing him in a better way, going deeper, and engaging your relationship with him. We're going on the mission trips. When we do mission trips, that's about personal. We've got mission trips. We've got a Vancouver team heading out in October. It's personal. It's personal for those individuals going. It's personal as they land there, begin ministering to individuals from another country. It's about a personal Jesus. When we gather here, 52 Sundays out of the year, it's personal. We do it because it's a personal Jesus. When we do children's ministry, it's personal. It's about a personal Jesus. When we do student ministry, it's about a personal Jesus. Everything we do at South Haven is about knowing and about calling and about helping people find a personal Jesus. Knowing, calling Jesus personal. Our purpose statement at South Haven is inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. That's very personal. There's a person connected to that. And there's a hope that our world is looking for that we get to share with them in Jesus. The Apostle Paul revealed a personal goal he had, and it had to do with Jesus. He was writing the church at Philippi, And it's as if he just wanted to let them know, and he's letting you and me know. He says, I've got this goal in mind. This is exactly what I aspire to do. This is what I want to do. And he writes this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And he says, my goal, you don't have to guess too much what he's talking about, is to know him. Do you know what that know is? Very personal. It's not a head knowledge, but it's an intimate, personal knowledge of who Jesus is. You see, if you ask me if I know somebody, you know, say, do you know so-and-so? I might say, I know of them, but I don't know them. And so there's a difference here. What he's saying is this, to know, that's very personal. I want to know him. How well do I want to know him? I want to know him, and I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know him so intimately that I can discover and understand the power that rose Jesus from the grave is the very power that exists in me. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to be conformed to his death. What a beautiful word for us there. My goal is to know him and the power of his resurrection. His main goal was to have the closest possible personal relationship with Christ. Paul's goal, here, I think we could say this, and I don't think we're doing any damage to Scripture or the testimony of the Apostle Paul. Paul's goal was to be able to always be saying, I'm calling Jesus personal. It's personal. What does that look like? Well, I want to share with you just a moment. We don't have a lot of time together, and I'm not up here for a long time, but I believe the time that I have is going to be well spent if you just focus with me for just a few moments. Are you able to call Jesus personal? Let that resonate for a minute and what that means. What does it mean? Are you able to call Jesus? Is he personal? Or is he just someone you just know about, but you've never known, or you don't know, or encountered? Do you realize that calling Jesus personal is really about a personal encounter with Jesus? Do you realize that to know him personally, you have to encounter him? A personal encounter with Jesus is like, is just this, is when your everyday, ordinary life, you're eating, you're sleeping, you're going to work, and you're doing just you're walking around everyday life, intersects with this extraordinary God who is Jesus Christ. So it's my and your ordinary life that intersects with something that's extraordinary. You see, you understand the extra that's beyond ordinary intersects with our lives. And this extraordinary life of Jesus is this life-giving, life-saving, forgiving, loving life of Jesus. Do you see what that looks like? You see, it's everything we can't do, and it's everything that he can do, is willing to do, and it kind of collides with our life. So if your ordinary life has intersected the extraordinary life of Jesus, and you can speak of a testimony saying there's a transformation process going on in my life, then you could safely say I've had this personal encounter with him. A personal encounter with Christ is a necessity in order to be calling him personal. You can't call him personal if you've never met him. The Apostle Paul had an extraordinary encounter with Jesus. If you've been through a few Sunday school classes or not, here, let me tell you what happened is that in the book of Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, who was a pretty rough guy, and that's an understatement, actually he was a murderer and he was a Christian killer and persecutor, and he was on his way to do that again, and he had this incredible encounter with God on what we know as the Damascus Road. And in the midst of that, it was this audible voice, this flash of light, this incredible event where God got his attention and intersected his everyday, now listen, ordinary life. Ordinary for Paul was persecuting and killing Christians, and that was his ordinary life. And God got a hold of his life. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 4, and actually verse 4 is going to start come up on the screens, but you need to understand there was something incredible going on in verse 3. And as he traveled and he was nearing Damascus, here it is, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. This is about Paul. And then in verse 4, it says, falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So here's Saul's words back. Who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, the one you're persecuting. And he replied, God replied, get up, go into a city Enter the city and you will be told what you must do. A personal encounter. This encounter with Jesus made all the difference in his life. You get that? How do you take a man? How can you explain anyway that a man was a murdering guy that murdered Christians all the time and persecuted them and no longer does that anymore? Actually, he was so, you know, the disciples are so skeptical that there had been some type of encounter with God that they didn't even really understand that they were skeptical and kind of shying away from him, not wanting to embrace him as he was kind of making his way into that disciple community. Later, God transforms him not only internally, but even gives him a new name, and his name is then, therefore, Paul. I would just say this, if you had an encounter with Christ, it probably didn't, but it might have, but it probably didn't involve flashes of light and the audible voice of God. But if you did have an encounter with Jesus, you just ought to know it. Not only you should know it, but your life ought to be different. Understand, if you've had an encounter with Christ, there ought to be some type of difference in your life. When we baptized these individuals here just a few moments ago, these four, do you know what that was about? That was about an encounter with Jesus. You don't do that in front of a bunch of people on a Sunday morning unless you had an encounter with Jesus. That is because, that you may understand, that was not the encounter with Jesus. The encounter with Jesus had already happened. That was because I have an encounter with Jesus. I want you to know about it. And I want you to know that he is my Lord and he's my Savior and he is my God and my master and my leader. That's what baptism is about. Every time we baptize, it needs to run through your head and it needs to be there. And if it's not, let me put it there. Have you done what they've done? If you've had an encounter with Christ, but you've never been baptized, then we need to have a conversation because that is the first opportunity to obey your Lord. On your communication card, just check. I want to talk to someone. I want to know about baptism. Give us contact information. We have classes that help you to understand what that really means. Let us know. Drop them in the baskets as you exit. We'll follow up with you this week. Encounters with God means that something different has happened. And when we have an encounter with God, you know what that means? That means we think differently. It means we speak differently. It means we act differently. It means we live differently. See, it's different. It's about being different. And so if you've had a true encounter with the living Lord, then there's something different going on. It's a personal encounter. Calling Jesus personal starts with an encounter. But also, here's the second thing, is to understand, if you're calling Jesus personal and you've had an encounter with him, then really it's going to be reflected in your walk with him. So then what would you say? Then calling Jesus personal is about a personal walk with Jesus, not just an encounter. The encounter, that's the good thing. That's the coming to know Christ as your Savior, but the walk is what happens out of that. What does it mean to have a walk with Jesus? It means you move with him as a single unit. It means you kind of move towards same goals. It means we're putting our strength towards the same end and we are in agreement about what the Bible says about how to live. To walk with Jesus or to walk with the Lord means that we are moving in harmony and we're staying close. It's the evident in what John would say about 11 times in the book of John, chapter 15, when he talked about the abiding relationship or remaining in Christ. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's that type of walk and that closeness. You know, walking with the Lord is language that we have throughout the scriptures. 1 John 2:6, the one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. Walking with God is a picture in the Bible that uses to describe the Christian life. Galatians 5:16 says this, that we walk by the Spirit. We walk with the Spirit of God, and we will not carry out the desires of the flesh. I love how the Old Testament prophet Micah 6:8 talks about our walking with God. Listen to what he says. He, meaning God, has told you what is good and what it is the Lord requires of you. Act justly, love faithfulness, walk humbly with your God. Enoch is known as the one who walked with God, and he was no longer. God took him away before he even died. Noah has said he has walked with God faithfully. It's like walking with a friend as you would walk down a country lane and just reminisce and talk and have companionship and talk about life. And you just, all of a sudden, you look around at all the beauty around you, but you're not looking at the beauty just because it's beautiful, but you look at the beauty in order to have a conversation about all the things that are around you. We need to ask ourselves, you need to ask yourself, how is your walk with Jesus today? Could it be said of you that you have a walk with Christ? Are you walking with him? Are you trying to get in step with him? I know sometimes my walk is two steps forward and one back. But you know what I find in there is I'm still making some progress. I'm not saying we're going to have perfect walks. I'm just asking you, do you have a walk? If you've had an encounter, you ought to have a walk. Listen, just because you had an encounter doesn't mean you're having a walk. And so if you had an encounter, you ought to be walking. This whole sermon series that I just finished on vital signs, it's about your walk. It's about heart connection and outward focus, and it's about personal growth and equipped to serve. That's our acronym of spiritual health process. It's about the walk. It's about staying connected with him. Personal encounters ought to lead to personal walks. Then what we find about calling Jesus personal, it's not just about the encounter, it's not about the walk, and then there's periodically, and this is biblical, and this is what the Lord tells us to do. It should always lead to a personal remembrance of Jesus. A personal remembrance. What does that mean? Well, just prior to Jesus' death, prior to his arrest and his crucifixion, he had a last meal with his disciples. And at the end of their time together, they took what is known as the Lord's Supper. It was a time to remember what Jesus had done for them, what he'd done for humanity, and what he was about to do on the cross. Paul describes this, and Paul describes what happened as he was having to actually teach the church at Corinth, the Corinthian church, because they were some abuses of the Lord's Supper. And the Apostle Paul instructed them on what this was all about, and this provides good instruction for you and me as well, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what the Apostle, this is what he said. He said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. So on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and he said, this cup is the new covenant established in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, and you do this in remembrance of me." This is a personal moment. This is about a personal Jesus. Do you realize that if you haven't had a personal encounter, this means nothing to you? Do you realize that if you have a personal walk with him, this means so much more to you? And you know what this is about? This is about remembering the personal encounter with Christ. And this is about reminiscing and being thankful for the personal walk you have with Christ. And this is what this is very personal. This is a personal remembrance time. The question you need to ask yourself is, do you have anything to remember? Is there a point you can go back somewhere in your life and say, I had an encounter, I'm doing my best in my walk, and I have something to remember? This is what this is about as we come into this time of taking our Lord's Supper. As we prepare for this, here in a moment, we're just going to have a time of retrospect and seeking the Lord and praying. I want us to share this with you. Before our leaders come, our deacons come to begin this serving process, I want you to know that you may be wondering, you may come from another church, another denomination. You may be wondering, what's South Haven's policy on Lord's Supper? Here's our policy. If you realize that you've had this personal encounter with Jesus, this means something to you, and we invite you to participate. That's it. What you're going to find here in a moment, is you're going to find as you get these elements, there's double-stacked cups. We do one pass at South Haven. The wafer cup and the juice cup, they're stacked one on top of each other. Make sure you get both as they come by. I want to say one word before our deacons come forward to those who are still contemplating whether they ought to participate or not. Here's individuals I might be addressing, whether you think you need to participate or not. you're still sitting there wondering, I don't know if I've had a personal encounter. And you may be there tempted to go ahead and participate just to keep from drawing attention to yourself, because you don't want anybody to know that you don't have a personal encounter. So here's the hardest thing you may do. The hardest thing you may do right now is refrain from participating, because this is all this is going to be is an appetizer for lunch that's coming here in a few minutes. And so if you haven't had a personal encounter, you understand that your presence here today is for that very purpose. The reason that you're here today is for you to have a personal encounter with Jesus. And we're going to help you do that here in a moment. But I'm going to invite you, and I'm going to challenge you right now to say, I'm not going to do that because I've never had the personal encounter. Here's what I'm going to encourage you to do as we continue. As the elements are passed and you're not participating, I'm going to ask you to pray. You say, oh, I don't know. I've never prayed. I don't know how to pray. I don't know. Here, you can pray this. Just a few words. Here's how you pray if you're going to refrain because you've never had a personal encounter. Just admit this. God, I'm a sinner. The Bible tells us all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Here's another thing. So you say, God, I'm a sinner, and I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. And then the last thing you pray, I need Jesus. That's very simple. I'm a sinner. Forgive me. I need Jesus because he's the answer to my sin problem. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. You pray that. At the end of our service, we're just going to have someone that's going to talk to you. And that's it. No pressure, but it's there. Some of you are saying, I'm not going to participate today because I just don't feel worthy. Okay, I understand. Some of you may have some things that you're just dealing with personally, and this right here is overwhelming to you, and you don't want to deal with this. I understand. It may have something to do with your walk. You said, I've had the encounter, my walk is terrible. And when I get my walk better, I want to remember this. Okay, I understand. I'm just going to give you a challenge. And if you're not going to participate, just pray and ask God, help me. Draw me close. I want that abiding relationship with you. Calling Jesus personal as we remember. I'm going to invite our ushers to make their way forward right now, our deacons to make their way forward as we begin this time. Father, at this moment, as we reflect upon who you are, and as we are remembering that encounter, we're being thankful for a walk. Father, in this moment, these next few moments, just hear your congregation, hear these individuals as they lift up their voices to you. And so, church, I'm encouraging you during this moment right now, as we prepare to distribute these elements, do you spend a moment in prayer, just silently there, just asking God for forgiveness and turn your heart back towards him right now. Father, I thank you for hearing our prayers, for being our God, for saving us and for loving us, for encouraging us and allowing us to remember and to be thankful for who you are. Father, now we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, church, I don't know if we can say that that was a word that was on the disciples' hearts during that last meal as Jesus was explaining what was about to happen and there was still confusion. And I just don't think the word victory was entering into their minds. There was so much that was about to happen. There had been a betrayal. There was a rousing hymn of praise that was sung as they left that upper room. There was a garden moment where Jesus, in the anguish of his heart, knowing that was coming, continually had to confront his disciples for sleeping. There was a confrontation. There was an arrest. There was a middle-of-the-night trial. It was all expedited. It was lashings and spittings and crucifixion on a cross between two thieves. There was a running away of the disciples they didn't understand. There was a denial. And in those words, those words at the cross where Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? In that moment, he was declaring he was lonely. He was in an abandonment. A holy God could not stand in the presence of sinfulness, and Jesus was experiencing sin for the first time. And it was all about you and me. Do you recognize how personal that was? It was about you and me. It's personal. So in that upper room, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to the disciples and he said, I want you to take and eat. This is my body. This represents the body of Christ that was given for you and me. And Jesus says, take and eat. Would you take and eat? Crucified body, nail-pierced hands and feet, crown of thorns, lashes upon one's back, the excruciating pain of even breathing on a cross, a sword in the side. Oh, Father, thank you for giving your body. We remember because of what you gave us. And your sacrifice. Amen. Jesus then took the cup and he said this, after giving thanks, he gave it to them and he said, drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood that establishes the covenant and it is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. The scriptures remind us without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. This is a sacrificial lamb. The blood of Christ has given us life. And he says, take and drink. This represents his blood. And Father, for shed blood, we are grateful that we can know you and experience you and have a relationship with you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, we've come to the conclusion of our celebration service today. We have packed a lot of information and a lot of life into this one service. And I sure hope you found it beneficial. This morning, I want to give you this one challenge as we get ready to dismiss. And here's the challenge. If you, in your conscience, in your heart, were not able to participate with us this morning, simply because of that lack of a personal encounter with Jesus, we want to help you have that. And here's how that's going to happen. In a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to be ready. We're dismissing. And what we'll do is we have some individuals, some men and women, wonderful men and women of God, that just come and stand right here. We call them encouragers, and they're good listeners, they're good prayers, and they want to help you this morning. And so if you intentionally refrain from the Lord's Supper because you need an encounter with Jesus, they're going to be right here to receive you today and to help you understand what that means. I know today as well, as they're going to be here, that God has said more than what I've said today. And if you need to have a conversation, you need to talk about anything. You want to talk about baptism, you want to talk about serving, joining the church, or if you just need to have someone just talk to you this week, let us know. Let us know on that connection card, drop it in the baskets, and we'll follow up with you this week as well. Well, this concludes what we have in store for you today. And there's one last thing. Well, you need to invite someone to come back with you next week. As we open up a new series of sermons called, it's on Joseph, the tagline is simply this. We're going to be talking about how to be trusting God in the plans you didn't choose. I think that resonates with some of us. I don't know it does with me. Sometimes they're just plans I didn't choose. There's sometimes I chose plans I shouldn't have chose, but there's sometimes I didn't choose the plan. What does that look like as I go forward and navigate life? Well, Joseph helps us that. We're going to study his life all the way up until the end of November. Joseph, trusting God in the plans you didn't choose. There's these little invite cards at each exit. Why don't you grab one or two? They're in bundles of five. Why don't you use them this week to begin to invite someone to join you next weekend? to be a part of our study on the life of Joseph.
Thanks for listening to our message from South Haven Church. If something from this message stuck out to you, you have a question or need prayer, please email our South Haven pastoral leaders at hope@southhavenchurch.org. South Haven Church exists for the purpose of inviting people to find hope in Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at southhavenchurch.org or join us in person at our main campus located at 16,800 Bellray Boulevard in Belton, Missouri. Until next time.